Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. You know, if it were up to me, all the people who visit our church would come back every week and be regular members of our congregation. If it was up to me, all the people we met at the Viva Vienna Festival, or who received the door hangers we've been putting up, would come to our church. If it was up to me, all the people who join our church would never move away and leave. John. If it were up to me, we'd have outgrown this building long ago and had our own building with a nice big crucifix up front and maybe even be outgrowing that. If it was up to me. But maybe that's asking too much. Perhaps my goals are too ambitious, so let's make them a little smaller. If it was up to me, you would all have such a strong faith that would never be shaken. If it was up to me, all the folks who have fallen away from our church would come back. And all who are experiencing trials and troubles would be made whole and healthy once again. If it was up to me, I would always know the answers to your questions and always know just the right thing to say when you come to me for comfort or counsel. If it were up to me, you and our church wouldn't have any problems at all. No doubts, no fears, no crises, no difficulties, no knock the wind out of you surprises. Only joy and peace and all things pleasant and nice. If it were up to me. If it were up to me, wouldn't our church be great? Well, actually, no. Because even though I think such a church would be great, and maybe you think such a church would be great, and maybe the world thinks such a church would be great, the truth is, we don't know what makes a church great. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Or in other words, it's not up to me or you. It is God's church, and only He can grow it. Only He knows how. And the good news we heard today is that He is. Through the seed of His word, He is working in the world. He is working in the church. He is working in your friends and family, and He is working in you. Even if you can't see it, if all the growth is underground, even if you don't know how, even if it seems as if the very opposite of growth is happening. It is God's kingdom, God's church, and He is growing it. Which means that God knows when we need times of peace, and He knows when we need struggle in order to grow. He grants growth and He prunes. He knows when to make the sun shine, when to make the rain fall, and yes, even when we need a little manure. He makes the seed of His Word grow in His time, not ours. We may want it to grow sooner and faster and stronger and bigger, but we cannot do it. We know not how. But He whose seed it is knows. And He can grant growth. And His promise to you today is that He will. For as the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. Do we need that promise? For as Christians and as a church, how easy it is to lose our confidence in the Lord and in His Word. How easy to think that we know better, that we can do it, or worse, that we have to do it. Through programs and methods and social sciences, or since our district convention begins meeting this week, by just getting the right people elected or the right resolutions passed. Those things aren't necessarily bad. But to rely on them, that's when doubt and worry and fear take over. That's when we become burdened and weary. And not only in the church, but in our lives as Christians. Because we've forgotten or lost confidence in His promise. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. But did you notice how good that sounded? God is growing His church, and that's not just now. But think back through the history of God's people, all the way back to the beginning. We keep messing it up. But did God not do it? Did He not keep and preserve and grow His kingdom? From Adam and Eve to Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, did God not do it? From Israel and slavery in Egypt to the time of the judges, did God not do it? From David to Solomon to the people of Israel hauled off as prisoners of war, did God not do it? From a small band of 12 apostles, through persecutions and martyrs, even to a little monk in Wittenberg, did God not do it? From communist countries that tried to stamp out the church but couldn't, to Muslim countries now that try to behead it but can't. Did God not do it? And still today, is God not doing it? For what credit can you take for being here in this church, at this place, in this time? What credit can any of us take for this church? Did I give my children faith? Or did God not do it? Is He not working? And will He not continue? Now that is not an excuse for inaction or laziness on our part. To think that if God's doing it all, then we can just sit back and we don't have to do anything. No. Rather, it is an invitation to live our lives and our vocations in faith. To keep reaching out and doing all that we can for each other, but to do what we do in faith. To not get discouraged if we don't get results, but to scatter the seed of God's Word and know that He will grant the growth. It's His church, and He will grow it. I guess you could say the reason we don't always believe that is that sin has made us spiritually colorblind. We look around in the world and we don't always see a kingdom of God that looks lush and green, but sometimes looks downright brown and dead. In us, in others, and in the church. When we're going through struggles, when we see what is happening to others, when we see some of the nonsense that is going on in churches around the world today. But you know, that's how it is with God. That's what we're going to see sometimes. And that's the way it's going to seem sometimes. Because growth for God starts with death. He kills in order to make alive. That's what we heard from the prophet Ezekiel in connection with God's promise. He said, I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree. Dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. And the foremost example of that is the cross, where the Son of God was put to death and then planted in the ground, and I dare say things never looked so dry and dead to the apostles and for the kingdom of God than that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter morning. But from that tree of death, from that seed planted in the ground, came life. Life from the dead. And though it may have looked like only a tiny mustard seed in the course of world history at that time, in that dry Good Friday tree made green on Easter Sunday was packed the death of all and the life of the world, the entire forgiveness of every sin, the resurrection of all the dead, and the reconciliation of the world to God. You may not have been able to see it at the time. All may have looked dry and dead. But God was planting paradise again. A new tree of life for the life of the world. And so it is still today. In you and me and all wherein is planted the seed of God's word. For where God plants His word, He plants His cross, His death and resurrection. He brings you low in order to raise you up. He dries you out in order to make you green. He kills in order to give life. That whatever in us is working against Him, our sin, our pride, our desire for self-sufficiency, our reliance in our numbers or income or members, or our desire to be the master of all that we have. That all that be brought low and dried up and die. So that we may be raised up to life in Him. And no ordinary life, but eternal life. That is why, as St. Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. For our sight is often colorblind. Our sight may judge the work of God wrongly and think things dry and dead and lost. But faith trusts the promises of God. That things are not as they look or seem, but they are as God says they are. And God is working and growing His kingdom, His church. His ways may seem to us as small as a mustard seed, but do not be deceived. The word of God that you speak to others, the waters of holy baptism, the word of holy absolution, the body and blood of Jesus in holy communion are granting life and growth. For in all these things is not our power, but the power of the gospel, the power of God. The power of the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgiving sins, raising the dead, and giving faith. Faith to know it's not up to me. Faith to believe that what I see today may not be how things are tomorrow. Faith to rely confidently on Him and His ways to build His church and to save me. For only He can do it. I think that was one of the greatest things about Martin Luther. He was great in the sight of many, and how great was he as the father of the Reformation? Luther was great because he had a profound sense of his own non-necessity. He once remarked, "While I drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course." That's faith. He could preach the word and then cheerfully step down from the pulpit, take off his robes, and have a glass of Wittenberg beer. Confident that the word was at work, doing its killing and making alive thing. He was active. He did a lot and wrote a lot. But he knew who he was, a sinner. And he knew who God was, the Savior. And so he lived in that forgiveness, not trusting himself, but the Word to do its work. And even have his little glass of beer in peace. And so you too. Without a doubt, there is much to do in this world and in this life, but in the end, you cannot even save yourself, let alone others. There is one who can and who did. You have his forgiveness and life. He has planted his word in your heart and made it grow, and he is keeping you. You have his promise. And though you may feel as small as a mustard seed in this world and think that all that you can do is just as small, remember that that mustard seed that you have and that you scatter is one powerful seed. For that seed is the word and power of God to forgive sin and raise the dead. The word and power of the cross. The word and power of his love. So scatter that seed recklessly. Sow it with joy, and at the end of the day, sit down and have your little glass of Wittenberg beer. Relax. Trust. Rest in the branches of the cross. Your Savior is working in you, in others, and in the world, doing all that is necessary and all that we need. He promised. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.